glory, His divine story. Every Thursday on Morning Glory. Catch the vibe with me, Karuna Munshi, on Radio Sai's Thursday Live on Asia Stream at 9:40 a.m.
Tune into Sai.
Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Stay tuned. Om Shri Sai Ram. Loving pranams at the lotus feet of our beloved Lord Bhagwan Shri Satya Sai Baba, who is the voice, the ears, the heart and soul of Radio Sai. Good morning and Navratri greetings to all our listeners. My name is Karuna and I thank you very much for joining us on this beautiful Thursday morning, April the 6th, 2017. Your company, dear sisters and brothers, translates into Swami's company for us. By the way, you are tuned to Morning Glory, coming to you live from Prashanti Nilayam, India, the spiritual capital of the universe. The time in the studio right now is 35 minutes past 9 a.m. Indian Standard Time, and I logged in 5 minutes early because I have a lot of content and I don't want to spill into the next segment more than I need to. The current temperature outside the studio in Prashanti is 30 degrees Celsius. We are expecting a high of 39 later in the day and overnight lows of about 26 degrees Celsius. On Monday evening, few days ago, the weather gods were very kind to us and they gave us some relief from the dry and hot weather with some pleasant and cool breeze as well as rains in the evening. But actually for us in Prashanti, every season is lovely and it has its own unique flavor to it. Right now, it is watermelon and nimbu pani or lemonade are the flavors of the season and also the yummy green raw mango chutney. Pretty mouth-watering stuff actually. The big mellow yellow mangoes are also making their annual comeback and several fruit stalls have already started carrying them. Soon mango, the king among fruits, will find its rightful place on our tables with the fruit ripening to perfection within, I think, another week or two of summer heat. Yesterday, that is on April the 5th, 2017, we celebrated Ram Navami in the ashram, which is currently being served by the Sevadal volunteers from the state of Telangana. Through his Sri Satya Sai Seva organization, Bhagwan Baba has revived the Bharatiya tradition of selfless service or community service in this great nation of Bharat. Every week, his chosen instruments from a state of India come to serve the ashram and its allied institutions at their own expense, spending their precious vacation time to further the mission and vision of their Sadguru Sai. And they leave with deep gratitude and gratification for the experience. Such is the power of Sai love. Team Radio Sai salutes these selfless and sacrificing souls who have incarnated as Sai Sevadal volunteers and who contribute so silently and substantially to his divine mission. Today on Morning Glory, I have a packed menu. That's why I started 5 minutes early. First, part two of Reflection and Reverie with Mr. V. Srinivasan. Dear listeners, we have received your positive feedback to part one of Reflection and Reverie with Mr. V. Srinivasan that was played last Thursday, and we thank you for that. Today's episode continues to trace his journey with the Purna Avatar from where he left off last week. Reflection and Reverie will be followed by, please note, part two of Fleeting Moments with Mr. Naveen Patel. Actually, I owe you an apology, dear listeners, because last week in error, instead of playing part two, I played part five of Mr. Patel's interview. Luckily, it was a standalone topic, so I guess I did not cause any permanent damage. Today, I will resume from part two that I had missed last week, and I beg your pardon for that oversight. The way the file was named, I mistook Mixdown 2 to be part two. So sorry about that. But first, for now, without any further delay, I am very pleased to present to you this Radio Sai exclusive, part two of Reflection and Reverie with Mr. V. Srinivasan. And here it is for your inspiration.
And then in October 1973, you know, we didn't have a room at that time. Swami told Jogarao, give Srinivasan a room. And he selected personally, Swami, the room which we have today.
It faces the Purnachandra Auditorium.
Exactly. It's right opposite the Purnachandra, very close to the Yajur Mandir. Mm. It's a small apartment. And what made it special was, for us, is that Swami himself came for the Graha Pravesh.
How nice.
He came and blessed us on the day that we performed the puja to begin staying there. And since 1973, that is where we have been staying at Puttaparthi. And it is a unique place, you know, it's so close to Swami's place. It is so central.
It has nice parking, which is important.
Yes.
And it's a ground floor apartment. Access is easy.
Yes.
And it's, for Puttaparthi standard, it's a larger apartment. You have
two little rooms, a bathroom, a kitchen, and a front veranda.
Yeah.
So even in the years when I was the All India president, and so many people used to come across, I managed in that room.
Because you cordoned off part of the veranda as a working office.
Exactly. So, in 1973, at that time, you know, in Puttaparthi, there was no Ganesha temple.
Right.
And you have seen some videos of that. And the statue there was brought by my father-in-law.
Yes, can you tell us the history behind it?
See, it was a rather unique statue.
Yeah.
Very ancient statue. And he wanted it to be installed. And Swami readily accepted that a Ganesha Mandir should be set up, and he decided the location.
Where did the statue come from?
It was, I think, somewhere in the interior parts of Tamil Nadu. I don't know the exact location because my father-in-law brought it.
It was ordered, commissioned for a carving?
Yes, and then it was brought. Swami liked it very much. And
that Ganesha is the heartthrob of millions of us.
Exactly. And Swami chose the location. And the inauguration of that has a special history with it. You know, normally South Indians, when we perform religious functions, the men usually keep their body bare, the top part. And we wear those
dhotis
in the nine-yard sort of fashion. So all the installation pujas and all took place. And then Swami finally came to give prana pratishta.
So infuse life into the idol.
Just before those days, you know, Kasturi was in charge. So I remember still, he's coming to me and said, cover your body. Swami doesn't like it if you're bare. So rapidly I wrapped the top cloth, the Angavastra.
Like a shawl.
Yeah, around my shoulders, and Swami came and he was so gracious. And right from that day, that Ganesha has been in the center of Prashanthi Nilayam, where millions of devotees start their day on that.
And it's such an important landmark. He's facing the gate, Ganesha gate. Everyone has first darshan there.
Yes, so that was in 1975, I think it was the 14th of October that it was inaugurated. And between 1973 to 75 was the Mandir remodeling, with all those gopurams being put up, all those
angels, motifs,
yakshas, all that was put up. And then the what we call yali. You know, a yali is a sort of it's like a unicorn, but like with a bit of a lion face.
Yes.
We have it here in Sundaram
also, yes.
The front. All that was done.
So whose idea was it? Did you all suggest it to Swami?
I think it was entirely the initiative of my father-in-law on that. He brought sketches which given by the shilpis.
A sculptor.
He brought the shilpis. Swami made a lot of changes in them.
Oh.
He suggested changes.
Like what do you remember?
Well, you know, for example, the shape of the gopurams.
Yeah.
It is done, you know, in his way that they rounded off one.
Yeah.
Not like what we have got here in Sundaram, which is like the typical Tamil temple gopuram.
Okay.
So that was changed.
He wanted it rounded.
Rounded, and normally, you know, we put, if you see the Dasavataram gate.
Yes.
There you have all gods and goddesses on the various layers.
Right.
Which is typical of a normal South Indian temple.
Mm-hmm.
It was not done like that on the Swami's Mandir.
Okay.
It is, he preferred it only with some architectural motifs, without any gods and goddesses, all that.
Mm-hmm.
And the various pillars, how they should be done, the color scheme. Swami has got his own color scheme, the pastel colors.
Yeah.
He doesn't like all these bright reds and greens. So all that was done and Swami was happy. And I still remember climbing up on the scaffolding and going into the veranda, and sometimes Swami would peep out from his bedroom to see what was going on. That would give me an excuse to take a darshan and sometimes a namaskar also. So those were the wonderful occasions. Now I must tell you something about our experiences within that mandir.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the old mandir, not the old mandir in the village.
The current Prashanti, but in his previous avatar.
Old new mandir.
Mandir, yes.
So Swami's bedroom was on the first floor. And I was fortunate to be permitted by him to come in the afternoon for tiffin with him.
So high tea with God.
It used to be about 1:30 or so the afternoon.
Oh, early high tea.
Yes, because his lunch was 9:30.
Yeah.
So at that time we used to climb that very narrow staircase from his interview room up to the first floor. I remember for some time he had that bed, which was just like a Seshanag.
Like a serpent shape.
Exactly.
Yeah, Vishnu serpent.
Yes. I don't know who gave that, because Swami had it in the past, I'm told, for many years.
Mm-hmm.
I remember seeing it for some time later, he removed it. But I have seen him on it, and he would sit there, and we would all sit on the floor and take tiffin. And I remember Swami's bathroom, which was so simple. You know, Swami was simplicity itself. Nothing elaborate, absolutely functional and just bare bones. And we used to go along that little corridor which is behind the mandir at the top.
Mm-hmm.
And we could look into the mandir through the grills.
Mm-hmm.
And then wash our hands and come back there. And we would leave by latest by 2:30, and then Swami would come out for darshan.
What
later.
Was typical tiffin like? Some
very simple.
Chakli, murku,
some upma sometimes,
mm-hmm.
and always some sweet would be there. Swami never took sweets.
Mm-hmm.
But
for the rest of you?
Yeah, he would.
Tea, coffee? Did you have a hot beverage?
No. It was only water, and because Swami ate so little, and he ate it quite fast. So we had to really gulp down so that we don't appear to be eating even after he finished, which inevitably took place.
Was there conversation during this tea time? Did he converse with
us? Yes, he used to ask the progress of various works going on. He would talk to Jogarao, he would talk to others who came at that time. And there would be conversation, but mostly related to ashram, and also anything which concerned ashram matters. It was not as if there was any spiritual conversation at
mostly
that time.
Mostly administrative.
On that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I must talk to you about my father.
Mm.
And this was in 1974, when we were getting ready for the big celebration in 1975, which was the 50th birthday.
Mm.
And it was then in the first floor that Swami raised this subject, because he said large crowds would come for the 50th birthday.
Mm.
We have to increase our accommodation. And that time there was a shortage of bricks at Prashantinilayam, around that area. So he was asking Jogarao, what should we do? How can we solve this problem? And then Yogra was also suggesting some alternatives. And then I took courage and said, Swami, my father has got a patented system of construction which does not use bricks. It can be put up like a meccano set very fast. So he said, go and bring your father. Swami said, go and bring your father. I told him, Swami, I can't bring my father. You tell Jogarao to go and bring him. Because Jogarao and my father were very, very good friends.
Okay.
See, I must tell you that in our house, in those days, my father didn't like my going to Puttaparthi.
Oh.
So, in our home, he used to live in the ground floor and Vidya and I stayed in the first floor. So my father used to tell us, "Oh, keep your Baba upstairs. Down below it is only Tirupati Balaji."
Oh, okay.
On that. So, of course, we have to obey. So that's why I was scared to talk to him about going to Puttaparthi. So I folded my hands and told Swami, "I can't bring my father. You ask Jogarao to go and bring." So Jogarao said, "Yes, go and bring his father." So Jogarao landed up at our house a few days later and said, "My father's name was Vengatram." Said, "Hey Vengatram, come to Puttaparthi, there's some work for you." See, my father was a workaholic. So I still remember the words he said, that, "Yes, I'll come and do work, but I won't fall at the feet of that Baba."
Oh, okay.
So Jogarao said, "You don't have to fall at any feet, you just come and do your work." So after 2 days, they both started off. And Vidya and I, our hearts were fluttering.
How is it going to turn out?
Yes, because I didn't want my father to say anything bad and not behave properly when he reached Prashantinidhi. And later I came to know what happened. When they reached Jogarao and my father reached Puttaparthi, Swami was in Purnachandra. And looking at some changes, etc. So as they started to walk towards Bhagawan, Swami turned around and looked at my father and said, "Venkatram, vachara, ra ikkada."
So
that
you
is,
have
you come here. So then I heard that my father went running and fell at Swami's feet and started crying like a baby, sobbing inconsolably. And Swami patted him, consoled him.
What a change.
And you don't know why it happened, how it happened. It's Swami's Leela. And Swami materialized a chain and a locket and put it round his neck. And that was when he was 75. He went there at Puttaparthi and he became totally converted. And he constructed the South Prashanti block, which is today there. You know, you remember this block.
Yeah, the south one.
And it was built like in 4 months.
Using the technology, the patent.
Technology, where it's all made of cement concrete. And all the beams and the slabs and the columns, everything is cast on the ground and lifted with a crane and assembled like a meccano set. So Swami was very, very happy. And that building stands even today as a monument to modern technology of those days at Puttaparthi on then. So we now come to the 50th birthday. Which was really an epoch-making event.
One of the best attended by the largest crowd ever.
But something happened during this period, which is again for all of us to witness a miracle. In the Purnachandra, during one of the days of the celebrations, my father had a stroke. So,
where was your dad at that time?
At Puttaparthi.
Oh, he had a stroke right there.
Yes, and in the mandir, he was sitting on the gent side near one of the gates. Inside the Purnachandra, I would say he was at the second opening uh-huh. of that. And he suddenly collapsed.
Ooh.
And he was brought back by the Sevadal to our room. And he was totally comatose and no indication of life. And at that time, then the doctor came and he said, very feeble pulse and almost no blood pressure. This was in the evening. And it was touch and go. We didn't know what was going to happen. And that time, there was no super specialty hospital, nothing on that. So he was kept in the room itself. And next morning, somebody reported to Swami as to what has happened. And Swami, out of his infinite love and grace, came down to our room and came to my father's bedside, who was lying there with his eyes closed. And Swami went near his bed and said, "Venkatraman, Venkatraman," in fairly loud voice. And my father opened his eyes, which he had not done since almost 24 hours. He opened his eyes, and though he didn't speak anything much, he could see definitely he was responding to Swami. So Swami blessed him and then left. So he was brought back to life at that time. Here a humorous incident occurred that we had to look after him there, and then I was looking for a commode.
Mm-hmm. A Western toilet?
Not a Western toilet.
Oh, okay.
You know, a commode used to be, you know, where it was a small thing which could bring by the side of the bed.
Okay.
Which had a wooden structure. And there was a, what, usually there will be a aluminium or steel pot.
Okay.
So the patient could sit on that and use it. So that was quite well known in those days. I don't know today if it exists. I'm sure something like that must be there.
Yes, there's a modern version of it.
Yeah.
It's a mobile.
So when I inquired, I said, just go and ask in the hospital.
Hmm.
Hospital was the old hospital.
Old general hospital, the small one.
Yeah. And in those days, Dr. Sitaramaya was there and said, "Sir, my father is saying, is there a commode?" So he said, "Yes, there is one in that corner. But be careful, there's a snake inside."
Oh dear.
So when we went and slowly opened, he was right, there's a snake coiled up inside.
Oh God.
So with great difficulty, we got rid of the snake and brought it. So you can understand what was the state of affairs in those days in the rural areas. On that, I'll still never forget the way he told it, you know, as a matter of fact. Yeah, there is one there, but go and meet
the
but
the patient is not going to die of something else.
There's a snake inside,
oh,
he said.
Oh, dear God.
So, and Swami's grace was experienced, and my father got all right.
He recovered?
Yes, he recovered, but, I mean, he was handicapped on one side. He was confined to a wheelchair.
Mm.
But that didn't change his lifestyle. He used to attend to his work in the wheelchair.
Oh, very driven.
And believe it or not, when the government of India called him to inspect the Haldia port in Bengal, he went in the wheelchair all the way to Calcutta in those days by train and attended to that and came back.
Wow.
His willpower was enormous, and he survived afterwards for almost 3 years before he died. That he died in Chennai. But it was a very unique experience which we went through in Puttaparthi with Dr. Sitaramaya and Bhagwan manifesting how he could bring somebody back to life.
Mm, and give him this extension of 3 more years.
On that.
For a dying person, every moment is so precious.
Mm. Now, I was not a member of the organization, or I did not know anything at that time. Since I came into the fold, I was only going to Puttaparthi and coming back.
But you were involved in the projects there?
In the projects, but not as such in the organizing.
Mm-hmm.
But I came under the influence of Indulal Shah, and somehow both of us took very much to each other. And he started to induct me into working with him. And I must say that all the years together we made a very good team. Because Indulal Shah was a man of great ideas. But he needed somebody to execute and work out the implementation strategies. That's what I provided.
Mm-hmm. So you made a nice team.
So really we made a very good team and he was very affectionate to me. I was not having and I didn't want any position as such. I used to do the work that he gave it to me. So a lot of drafting of the rules and regulations, drafting of the protocols, drafting of that I did. And Indulal Shah was quite happy. And Vidya came under the influence of Sarala Shah and got quite involved in the Balvikas movements. Then Indulal Shah proposed to Swami and I was made the deputy convener of the Sai Trust in Tamil Nadu.
Mm-hmm. The state trust.
The state trust. Mm-hmm. I think since I was a business executive, etc., and he felt that I would be better suited to a position in the trust rather than in the organization.
Mm-hmm.
And that time, the Tamil Nadu trust convener was a person called G.K. Damodar Rao, who was the a retired High Court judge. I don't know if you ever came across him. His son was the principal of the Whitefield College.
Professor Narendra.
Yes.
And I think his daughters or granddaughters studied in our college at Anantapur. Urmila and Vidyulata.
Yes. So, very pleasant person and he readily accepted me and we, I think, vibed together well. I started to help him in his work as the convener of the Tamil Nadu Trust. And we used to go regularly to Puttaparthi and also to the old Brindavan. You must have experienced the old Brindavan.
With the small old bungalow, the pink color, yes.
That was a wonderful place, Karuna. It had its own unique charm and ambience.
Truly, it did.
You know, that this old bungalow, Swami came to the veranda where we would all be waiting, those of us who were permitted to come inside. And luckily I was one who was permitted to come. And if you recall the outside, when he came out of the gates, there was this huge tree.
Banyan tree.
It was called Sai Ram Shed.
Yes.
With the image of Krishna there. And all the trees used to line the road from the main gate to Swami's gate.
Yeah.
And people always who sat for darshan used to sit under those trees initially, which provided so much shade on them. So coming inside Brindavan, we used to sit in the veranda when Swami came in or after he completed darshan, he would come back and spend some time there. And sometimes he would call us to take lunch or dinner with him. And there was a large hall downstairs where meals were served. Swami used to sit at a small table while the rest of us, and I think there was a table for small table for Jogarao also, but the rest of us sat on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
It was heavenly. The other thing was, you know, the morning darshans, and Swami gave me a room there also. In Brindavan also.
There were some cottages, limited accommodation.
Not only cottages, there was afterwards a sort of a block was built.
Yeah.
And Swami gave me a room there. And again, this room was unique, though it was not on the ground floor, it was on the first floor, but it was the corner room.
Oh.
Which overlooked directly into Swami's building. So there, we used to spend a lot of time and always go there for the morning darshan after the Nagar Sankirtan. And that is where I had the experience of seeing Swami's aura on that. When he came out for the darshan to take the aarti.
On the terrace.
On the terrace, on that building.
Mm. What did you see? Can you please describe it?
See, it was as if there was smoke coming from Swami's, you know, from his back of his head. It was smoke was coming and then colors would come and it would be all these light pink colors and you could see as if it was a real spiritual aura which was there radiating on that. I don't know if anybody else has had this experience. I could see as if there was a whiffs of smoke going from that up into the sky on that. And that is the only place I've ever seen that.
You saw it once?
No, several times.
Oh, I
saw it many times.
Frank Baranowski speaks of it.
Yes, he speaks of that, you know, Kirillian photography.
Yeah, photography, yes.
And talks about that. Yeah. But I saw it personally.
With your naked eye?
With the naked eye. We would be sitting, standing down below.
What was your reaction? Did you wonder, what am I dealing with? Who is this person?
No, I didn't have any such doubts at all.
Mm.
I was a converted person by then. Mm. And I was only rejoicing, having the darshan as if you're seeing Shiva, you know. With his aura on that, and during the entire Aarti song, Swami would stand, and we had that unique experience, not for just few seconds or a minute, it used to go on for quite some time. And then at the end, he would bless us and go away inside the room on that. So this is where in the old Vrindavan, I have never seen it anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
I have not seen it in Puttaparthi. Of course, many others have seen it elsewhere, but
mm-hmm.
I saw it in the old Vrindavan building in Whitefield.
Mm.
So that was a unique experience that I had. Then in 1976, you know, we had this summer course in Ooty.
Instead of in Vrindavan where it usually used to be.
Yeah, this was, Swami had got this building there. That was Lord Dalhousie's palace, summer palace, which was located in Ooty, which Swami had taken over. It was a beautiful structure, the central hall where the bhajans used to take place and where meetings were held was the ballroom. And it had a wooden floor on that because it was a dancing floor. And it was, Swami had named it Nigamagamam on that. And the summer course was held there at that. This was in 1976. And at the end of that, there was a central trust meeting held during that summer course. At the end of that meeting, Indulal Shah came out and told me that Swami has approved your being a member of the Council of Management of the Central Trust. So I became a member of the Council of Management of the Central Trust at that time.
Of which there was a sole trustee till then, that was Bhagwan himself.
See, there was a difference between, you know, there was, Swami was a sole trustee. There was a Council of Management which consisted of people like the Rajmata of Navanagar, our Janaki Ramaya Garu, and also the MP, Mr. from Delhi, Mrs. Ratanlal's relation.
Sohanlal?
Sohanlal.
Sri Sohanlal.
Sohanlal.
And wasn't Justice Padma Khastagir on it also?
Not at that time.
She came later. Okay.
And then Prasad Rao from Hyderabad and Kamani there, and Indulal Shah was there. They were all called members of the Council of Management. They were not trustees.
I understand, right.
So at that time, I was inducted into that Council of Management and I was overawed, particularly of the Rajmata.
Uh-huh.
But somehow she took to me quite well and was very affectionate to me. I just had interaction with her just 2 years before, I think she either passed away or stopped coming to Puttaparthi because of her health. But she was a very strong woman on that. And Swami always respected and loved her very much.
And that's so nice to hear, considering that we don't hear too many strong women in decision-making capacities after that. Nice to hear that Swami picked a woman.
Yes. And she was there and on that. Of course, she was a total devotee of Bhagwan.
Yes.
On that. At that time, I also became the deputy chairman of the World Council, which was the Sai organization. There was something called this, the World Council of Sati Sai Organizations. Indulal Shah was the chairman. And Swami had approved that I could be the deputy chairman of that.
That body stands dissolved now.
Yeah, that was dissolved in 1987. At that time, then Swami wanted to start a school in Ooty. And he gave me the job of building this new building.
Mm-hmm.
and plans were made and shown to Swami. And it took me 2 years to get that done. You know, construction in Ooty is not very easy.
Because it's in the mountains.
Not only in the mountains, the climate is very hostile.
Cold.
Because concrete never sets. It's always damp.
And rains a lot.
So it's very difficult to do and to get materials, workmen there. So finally it was inaugurated in 1978 in February. And I don't know if you remember, Mrs. Verma
was the first principal.
Was the principal of that.
Amar Kumari Verma.
Yes. And then some of the people in the primary school were there at that time. The warden, the tall lady.
Mrs. Prema Behel.
Behel. Mrs. Behel was there. So
Miss Muni Kaul and Nirmala, Radhakrishnan's
yes,
sisters.
Yes, they are Sarojya's daughters.
Yeah.
Radhakrishnan's sisters.
Mrs. Roy, many of them were there. Yes.
Mrs. Roy was also there. So I used to be really their sort of conduit for communication with Bhagwan on all matters concerning the school. So Swami was very happy to inaugurate it, and we had quite a few children, and they had these typical orange sweaters, which was the
uniform.
Uniform on that. And then I must tell you of a very unique trip. I think it was 1980 that in Vrindavan, Swami said, he wanted that some of his boys should be taken to Europe.
For what purpose?
Just to a sightseeing trip. So he selected 4 boys. One was Radhakrishna, C. Srinivas, Rupak Changakoti. I don't know if you remember him, and Nityanand Menon. These 4 boys, and I was the chaperone.
Oh, okay.
So Swami gave us all suit lengths.
Dressed like Europeans.
Yeah. And I was given the job, and Swami said, take them show around Europe 1 week. So we did a trip. We went to Munich. We went to Rome. We went to Venice, we went to Paris, we went to London.
5 countries.
5 countries in 7 days.
Whirlwind tour.
Whirlwind tour. And everywhere, of course, there were Sai devotees who would look after us. And some of those people I still keep in touch with. I had seen, of course, some of those people who still come to Puttaparthi. There was this guy who was a baker and whose bakery was near the Vatican. So we had pizzas in the near that place. And in Munich, I took them to Nymphenburg Palace. In Venice, there were some Swami's devotees where there was a bhajan. Then I took them on the Grand Canal and things like that. And then in Paris, there was a very unique devotee of Bhagwan. He was a count. His name was Count Jacques Pileville, and he was a very prominent banker. In fact, his wife comes every year, and she's coming to Puttaparthi next week. Her name is Elizabeth Pileville. And she sends me a Christmas card every once a year, and we are in touch on that. And he took us to his apartment, and we had lunch there, and then we flew into London. And that was where I had the problem with the immigration. And the guy asked, where all are you? We said, we are doing these countries. And how long is your tour? 1 week. He wouldn't believe it. He said, it's impossible. And who has organized this trip? So all the boys pointed the finger to me. So because he was suspecting that I was smuggling these guys into the country.
I see.
And only when I showed him the return tickets, confirmed tickets, etc., that he agreed to allow them into the country. I remember still we stayed in the Holiday Inn, which was near Marble Arch. And that told me also during that trip, I don't want to mention who was there, I could evaluate these boys. I could find out who really was devoted to Swami fully, who would be with him, and who was more materialistic, attracted by the thing. Some of them would, whenever they were shopping, they would only shop for Swami. Others were taken over by all the attractions. I don't want to name any names, but I could see at that time who of these boys would remain with Swami, and it turned out to be true as per what it happened at that time. And when we came back after this whirlwind tour of Europe, Swami was, he just asked me, were they good boys? I said, they were all very, very good boys, Swami. So that was a unique opportunity for me to do something which would normally not be expected.
In a spiritual organization, yes. Take a bunch of people on a tour to Europe.
Yes. Then this was happened in the year 1980 that we went to Europe. And at that time, you know, in 1980, the process started for Swami's residence in Chennai.
Sundaram, where we are recording this.
Swami always used to stay with our Venkatamuni's family.
Yeah.
In Maharaja Surya Rao Road with Venkatamuni's wife, Sushilabha. And then there was Ishwar, his daughters, Praveen, his daughter-in-law, Jalaja, and Ajayashri. And always that small house was where Swami used to stay and devotees used to go there for darshan. Of course, public meetings were organized somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
Our Anjali Devi, the great actress, she had donated this land to Swami. At that time, there was only the Shirdi Baba Mandir here, which you see even today. And then, so that time we had people in Chennai called like Mr. Rai Nayengar. You may not have come across them. Then there was Mr. Manikavasagam. And then Achyutanandam.
Him I knew.
You know him.
Yes.
So, Damodar Rao, of course, was there. So, we all were cogitating about setting up what should we do, what sort of structure. So, finally, the initial proposal was to make a Shivalinga, like what was done at Shivam.
In Hyderabad.
Mm. And some ground floor was constructed with a Shivalinga with an entrance. And Swami came and he didn't like it on that. And he was not at all pleased with that. So we were again scratching our heads. Then this again, you know, so many inputs come from places you never expect.
Hmm.
There was a very leading architect in Chennai called Narasimhan.
Mm-hmm.
Who was a staunch Vaishnava.
Mm-hmm.
And he had been discussing with my father-in-law about setting up a structure as a Vaishnavite temple on there. And it looked very good, but the plans were in cold storage. Suddenly I got the idea, let me take out those plans, dig it out, and see what Swami says.
Mm.
The moment I showed it to Swami, he said, yes, this is what I want.
Oh.
On that, and that started this process for, we demolished all that old structure with the Shivalinga and all that, and started the process for construction of Sundaram.
May I ask a question here? This is so many years later, this is the hub of Sai activities here, and now, how did you all go about galvanizing resources? It must have cost a fortune even in those days, because we don't solicit for funds. We don't approach people. But how did all this happen? History needs to know that.
I think, you know, the secret on that is, when there is a divine will, it happens. We never solicited funds. Those of us, we contributed our own might. I don't want to name the names, but you will never believe it if I told you at that time what it cost. And Swami also gave some money.
Oh.
He was very particular that he must give money.
Oh.
So he did give some money. We just took what he gave without mentioning what it was required or anything. But it was just, as we go along, I'll tell you, so many things happened. How did you put up this super specialty hospital? How did you put up these things, you know, which today look impossible to replicate? But it happens when there is a divine sankalpa on them.
So people came forward?
not many people, very few, very few of them. And I don't want to reveal them, I don't know it, but it was very few who came together and did the whole thing on that. And many people contributed their mite free of charge on that, to the works, materials, etc. Just to give you one example.
Please.
The total Shilpi work in those days, the Shilpi was inspired. It cost us only 70,000 rupees.
Wow. It's an architectural gem.
Can you imagine something like that? But for divine sankalpa, it cannot be done. Even if you had people willing to just pour money into that, it won't get done like that. Bhagwan has always said that for good works, there's never a shortage of funds. So that's how we started to construct this. Swami came once in the during the construction and he looked. You know, if you observe the columns here, they're decorated in a particular fashion. And if you look at the top of the cornice, etc., he gave detailed instructions while he came here for his inspection trip. And finally, it was getting ready for inauguration in January 1981. And again, miracles. Two things happened. One, I got a very bad cellulitis infection. And I was down with fever. Not able to move. And the doctors who were treating me said, you have to be admitted to hospital. And hardly 2 weeks left for Swami coming to Chennai and inaugurating the building. And that was the time that I got the one and only letter from Bhagwan written by his own hand, which I still have. I got it laminated. I've given a copy to Radio Sai for the archives.
What language? English?
English.
English.
His handwriting is so precise and a delight to watch.
And do you remember what he wrote?
Yes, I know fully.
Please share with us.
So he said, dear Srinivas, accept my blessings. Don't worry, I am with you. I will come soon to Chennai. You will be all right. I am sending prasadam. So for just a short half-page letter, he had a small, I think, a special letterhead size. And at that time, the Swami used to put his phone number on the letterhead. It was called Prashanthi Nilayam 62 or something like that. I still have that letter. It's cherished document for him. And lo and behold, I became all right. The cellulitis disappeared with Swami's prasadam. So we were back at work.
This letter came by mail?
No, somebody brought it.
Oh, it was hand-delivered.
Yes, with prasadam. And then we were in the Pongal week in Chennai.
In January.
In January 13th, 14th, 15th. Never in the history of Chennai has it ever rained in this month. That year, we had a tremendous downpour all those 3 days, you know. And we were wondering how we can complete all the myriad things which remain to be done with this kind of weather. Somehow, we started to work and having faith only in Swami. Swami sent Jogarao and Dr. Bhagavantam to go and see how the building is, because he was himself, I think, a bit doubtful whether this was going to be in any shape. And I think we got good
reviews.
And they reported back to Swami. And on 19 January 81, Swami was to come and inaugurate the building. I still remember when he was coming, his car was coming along Greenways Road. As it was near the corner there, this main door for the bhajan hall, which you see, we were screwing it in.
Oh my God. Last minute.
The main door there was being screwed in as Swami's car was being approaching. But I'll never forget the words which Swami said when he got down and looked round and then said, Sundaram, Sundarame. Sundaram is beautiful. Sundaram, Sundarame. So he was very happy. And all of us went into raptures. And he has always had a special affection for Chennai and came here several times after that.
he used to come for the anniversary very often, right?
Quite often, and not only for anniversaries. As you will see, that he had been coming here for on several occasions.
Yeah. In 82, I had darshan in Sundaram.
Yes.
I remember Swami
being
here.
No, he would come on the anniversary and also later when he came for the Atirudra Mahayagnyam and other things.
Yes, of course.
But usually it will be synchronized around this anniversary of Sundaram that he would come. And then in those days was the person in charge of Swami's kitchen here was Sushilamma. You know, as I said, was Venkatapuni's wife. She knew exactly the cuisine which Swami liked. And she had had years of experience of looking after Bhagwan. But one good thing was, you know, for us, was my first son, Murli. He had attended the summer course in Vrindavan, which used to take place then. And he got a chance to be nominated to work in this floor where Swami is. There usually we select 3-4 boys, and he got a chance. And Sushilamma liked him so much, she used to tell me, "You need not come, you just send Murli." Because Murli is a perfectionist, and he used to do things in the right ways, have everything in the right place. And he learnt a lot from her on that. And Vidya, of course, was Sushilamma's assistant here to learn from her how things are to be done. So that is the starting of Sundaram.
Sai Ram, and welcome back to Morning Glory on Thursday Live, and thank you for tuning to Radio Sai. Dear listeners, my name is Karuna, and I'm coming to you live from Prashanti Nilayam, the abode of Supreme Peace, the home to the holiest shrine on the face of this planet. The current time in the Divine Valley is exactly 25 minutes past 10 a.m., that is Indian Standard Time. You just heard part 2 of Reflection and Reverie with Mr. V. Srinivasan. Dear listeners, in case you have missed part 1, you can catch it on Thursday Live Archive of last Thursday, that is March 30th. This is a 6-part series, a Radio Sai exclusive, and I intend to debut a part every Thursday on Morning Glory till the 4th of May. So Morning Glory is your one-stop shop for enjoying the entire series. Dear brothers and sisters, I hope you are enjoying this conversation as much as I did while recording it on the 9th of January 2017 at the Radio Sai Studios in Sundaram in Chennai. We eagerly look forward to your feedback to episode 2 of Reflection and Reverie with Mr. V. Srinivasan, which was focused, among other topics, on the history of Sundaram, the main Sai hub in the city of Chennai. Please reach us with your comments, thoughts and suggestions at our email ID, listener@radiosai.org. And now, I'm going to leave you to enjoy part 2 of Fleeting Moments with Mr. Naveen Patel of the United Kingdom. He's in conversation with my colleague, Mr. Vishu Prushti. Please enjoy this interview, and remember, we look forward to your feedback at listener@radiosai.org. With that, dear sisters and brothers, I wish you a Saisome day ahead. May the love of Sai fill your lives and your day ahead. Over now to Mr. Naveen Patel, part 2. Till we meet next Thursday, thank you and Jai Sai Ram.
First day we came to Dhamakshetra. Obviously those people who have been to Dhamakshetra, they know. It's on top of the hill. And there is the slope reaching the Dhamakshetra, the Mandir, the Deep. Satyadeep. It's very steep hill. And on the steep hill, devotees start to sit for darshan. And you wouldn't believe this. Very early morning, myself and one of the other boys who was with me was Anup Shah. Both of us had come to Mumbai. And suddenly seeing thousands of devotees rushing there. And the volunteers in Mumbai, all very aggressive, pushed us straight into these little corners. We had not seen so many people before. I mean, in Africa, you don't see such big crowds. Mm-hmm. And we were pushed into this crowd, into this big squares, as though you are not to be found again. All I had was one letter that Dr. C.G. Patel had written for me, written for me to be given to Swami as an introduction. As though Swami doesn't know anything about it. But Dr. C.G. Patel had given this letter to me. Swami very beautifully comes down this slope and enters this big marquee-like place, and you've got all these squares, and devotees, we are pushed into about third or fourth rect square from the stage. And Swami is trying to make his way through that, this path, and devotees keep falling in between, even though the volunteers are pushing them aside. And they block Swami's path. So Swami comes out again, takes another route, and finally comes directly straight in front of me and says, "You got a letter for me."
Oh.
As though he was looking for me and nobody else, you know. He came straight to me and said, "You got a letter for me." I was shocked. And I hold the letter in front of him. Swami grabs it, takes it, and he goes, moves, and returns back to the stage. And then Aarti and all those things takes place. And then Swami has obviously gone into Satyadeep up in Mandir. That time there are a lot of meetings, and one of the meetings was a Balvikas meeting. We didn't realize this. But outside on the stage, they are announcing that there are two African boys who come. Would they come present themselves to the stage, please, very quickly? So he, Anup and myself, we are standing in the corner. We say, "No," looking at ourselves. "We are not Africans. We haven't got black skin." So we are just, it must be somebody else. So we just kept quiet. We stood there. And Madhavan was looking from distance. "Yes, they're asking for you. Go." And then we suddenly tried rushing up front. There are three tiers of volunteers in front of us. Mm. The volunteers, "You're not Africans, you're not black, you're Asians, you're Indians. They're not asking for you." And they would not listen to us. They would not let us pass these three tiers of volunteers that are there. Then suddenly, Indulal Shah, he knew us because he came to Africa with Swami. He knew us from then. And he came down running from upstairs. "Swami is asking for these boys." He looks at the distance, "Allow these boys quickly." Shocking, you know. And we were rushed. Where? Into the Balvika session that Swami was holding. So, you know, Swami is taking us through the Balvika session to graduate into the adults we were.
Wow.
Because we didn't have a Balvikas in Africa those days. All we had was Gita classes, with which we sort of occasionally attended. And that's all was our initiation into the Sai fold. And Swami, we happened to be in there. And Swami said, "Go inside." So, as I said, we were into this Balvikas meeting. Once the meeting's finished, volunteers quickly ushered us out of the hall. We were thrown out, and we thought, "Oh, that's the end of it. My God. Okay, let's go outside and stand outside until late afternoon when the bhajans, the darshan will take in." And suddenly, Swami sent a message, "Call those two boys again." And what happened was, Swami dragged us straight into the dining room there.
Oh.
And we had our meals there.
Wow.
And then Swami says, "So what is your program now?" He asks me. I said, "Swami, we are with you, that's all. That is the program, nothing else." "Stay with you. Stay with me for a few days, and everything will be okay." So he made us stay in Dhammakshetra, and we were having meals, you know, day in, day out. In the evenings, there used to be public meetings somewhere in Sardar Patel Stadium or somewhere there. Swami would tell us to come attend his meetings as well. And thousands of devotees would come there. And that was, you know, fantastic to see these things. And then Swami left Mumbai, or was leaving Mumbai. And he looks at me and gives me instructions. "I've got two of my cars here. One was a Studebaker and one was an Impala. I want you to come in these two cars. Anup, the other boy, sits in the other car. You sit in this car." And Swami's instructions are very clear. "We will leave at this time." That is, Swami will leave. He is going by flight to Bangalore. and he had instructed us to take the cars from Mumbai, drive all the way to Bangalore. Obviously, the drivers were there. And Swami instructed me, the driver that you are going to sit with is a fast driver. He's a reckless driver. So you got to make sure he doesn't drive any faster than 30 miles an hour.
Oh.
And he said, leave Dharmakshetra after half an hour of me leaving. He saw me leaving. And we were so eager. So before the time was up, probably 20, 25 minutes or so, we ran straight into the car, told the driver, let's go. And the driver, we had instructed the driver, you must not drive any faster than 30 miles. So, sat in the car. In those days, the roads, as I said, was very, very bad. Big pitfalls and everywhere on the roads. There were Moram roads, not tarmac roads and all this sort of thing. And the cars were going smoothly enough. And I was watching the speedometer, and I saw the drivers were speeding up. It was going to 40, 45 miles an hour. I said, that's okay. I'm not paying much attention. I want to get to Swami much quicker and quicker, you know. So, either way, I ignored Swami's instructions. First of all, timing, start timing also, I ignored it. And the speed also, I ignored it because I was so eager to go and see Swami. Because I had this confidence, nothing will happen to us, you know. What is that, you know, after all? You know, what a bit of speed and you'll get to Swami much earlier. But Swami has got reasons for letting or telling you to specific instructions. So, very late night, one of the cars, I think the car that I was in, the Impala, or was it Studebaker? One of the cars, the back axle broke. As I say, the roads were terrible. And you cannot find a mechanic nearby. So the driver said, don't worry, he managed to get to Dhawan, get a mechanic. And the mechanic saw that and he said, it's a big job. It needs welding and all that. So then the cars will have to be towed to the garage. And we'll have to work overnight to finish it off. And they had to take the cars to the garage, weld it properly. And next morning, the cars were ready to go. So we took off. Obviously, we lost so many others.
So Anup's car?
We were all together. We were to go together. His car was supposed to follow mine.
Okay, but we were supposed to go together.
Yeah, obviously. They were to follow my car. The other interesting thing, brothers and sisters of us, say is this thing. As devotees of Baba, we must remember this thing, that whenever a guest comes to your place, Atithi Devo Bhava, Swami says, guest comes to your place. Now we thought the cars were going, and it was going to take about 36 hours to get to Vrindavan. So, on the way, we'll pick up some food and all. But would you believe this? The two booths that we had in the cars were full of food, drinks. For whom? Just for us. Swami had instructed the volunteers in Mumbai that these boys come from Africa and they're used to this sort of food. So make sure they have got that sort of food. And I'm sure Swami must have checked it as well. And the booths were full of these sort of foods in there. And it just gives us that love with which we should be looking after our guests. You know, how we should be treating our guests. Treat our guests as God. Atithi Devo Bhava. So, Swami, being God Himself, treating us normal, ordinary people with all these luxuries, this is beyond comprehension, you see. So it's another lesson for us. And obviously, I just wanted to bring this to your notice. But obviously, next day, very late night, we reached Vrindavan. We get into Vrindavan, and what happens is there is the caretaker those days used to be one Mr. Rama Brahma. wonderful person, wonderful soul. He looked at us, "You boys, very bad boys, you made Swami not eat today."
Ooh.
What? We didn't know the story. I said, "Because of you boys, Swami has been waiting for you all this time." I said, "Where are my boys? Send them. What's happened to them?" As if Swami did not know. Yeah, Swami is all pervading, all powerful. He knows everything. Yet, in front of people, how he acts, as if he's an ordinary person. He's waiting and coming in and out of the house and looking for us as though he did not know where we were. Obviously the car, because of the delay in repairing the car, we get there so late, and that evening Swami doesn't have the meal. He said, "Until the boys come, I'll not have the meal. I'm waiting for them. We'll have the meal together." And he did not eat that day. So another mistake that we made was we unknowingly cause pain to Bhagavan.
So whenever we actually fail to follow his teachings, instructions, we cause him so much pain.
He is more than your own mother and father, because he knows that mother and fathers, if they are waiting for their children, they will be very eager to see them. This is how Swami is, and he will wait for you. And he did not eat. So another big grave mistake that we made was we did not follow Swami's instructions, and at the same time Swami did not eat that day. Next morning we got back to Vrindavan. We were made to sleep at Mr. Java's place, the Joy Ice Cream owner at that time. That evening, that night we spent at his house, and early morning we again got back to Vrindavan. Swami looked at, "You Dhonapotus, told you people not to rush that way. Told you, Navin, not to let the driver go over 30 miles. This is why this has happened. Your car broke down." I knew it. You don't follow Swami's instructions. So if Swami gives you a specific instruction, explicit instruction, follow that to the letter. If you don't, then calamity occurs. At the same time, not only you suffer, but the God himself suffers for you as well. And so this is another lesson to us. Obviously, the college is not yet opened. The term hasn't yet started. The admission hasn't started. So we spent a few days with Swami, staying in Vrindavan, having meals with Swami. For me, this was all new. I thought that was all normal. Anybody who comes to Bhagavan like that has meals every time with Swami. So I was living in a different world, probably. And then one day, Swami all of a sudden looked at me and says, "Navin, you got your grandfather here in Gujarat." Yes, I had my grandfather who was in Gujarat near Anand. How did Swami know about it? I had not told Swami. Nobody else had told Swami about it. He said, "I want you to go and see him. He's getting very old now. Go and see him. Pay your respects to him. And the college is not yet open. It'll take a few days before it opens. Go. After about 10 days, come back. So visit him." So as per Swami's instruction, we left for Gujarat, went there. Anup went to his relative's place, and I went to my grandfather and my uncles and all that. And after seeing them, Swami said 10 days, so I had to somehow make my time pass by. And after whoever I had supposed to be meeting, I met them, my uncles, aunties and all that. And then I thought, who else? What shall I do? I was running out of thoughts. Then I thought, Swami had visited Baroda some time ago. Again, Dr. C.G. Patel's home in Baroda. So I said, why don't I go there? I'll go and see if Madhuban is there. Obviously, Madhuban wasn't there. She was back in Uganda. But Dr. C.J. Patel's son, younger son, Atul, he was in Baroda. So I spent a couple of days with him. And then in passing, Atul asked me, so what, I thought, knowing you were going to UK and studying medicine in UK, I said, yes, I am going to do that. I'm going to study medicine. But I thought you were joining Swami's college. I said, well, Swami's promised me an admission in his college, in medical school. And Atul suddenly looked at me very inquisitively. And he said, but Swami doesn't have medical school. Ah, suddenly this little thought that came into my mind, just because Atul said that. And then, next moment, I just brushed off, no, I'm sure Swami must have, this is wrong. I mustn't have this bad thought, because I must have full faith in Swami. Forget about it. No doubts. I must not have any doubts. And I left it at that. Totally forgot about it. Came back to Vrindavan, obviously, by that time. That day, that morning, early morning, Swami left Vrindavan to go to Prashanti. We came to Prashanti. But again, this is interesting. We miss bus connections in Bangalore city. We took another bus, which is going through Kadare. And that bus again has a puncture, so we could not sort of catch up with the Prashanti, the Puttaparthi bus that was coming, SRS. So he took us to Kadare. Next morning we came through Bukapatnam, through Chitravati River. Those days Chitravati River used to have a lot of water. And the porter said, I'll carry the baggage, sir, just come behind me, where I walk, just walk behind us. So the porter was carrying this. And as he went deeper into the water, he was sinking deeper into the water.
Oh.
And I just followed him. And literally the water came right up to my neck. I thought, any deeper than this and I'll sink. I cannot swim. And we came out of the Chitavati. No incident occurred, but we just came out of Chitavati through old Puttaparthi. Through where Swami was born and those places, and through old Mandir, that side, and through the Gopuram gate, and we came inside. By that time, I had a long walk, and it was warm day, so the clothes dried up. And then reached the Mandir in the morning, and just then Swami had finished darshan. He had gone back to his room, and Kasturiji was around, and he looked at his. So he was looking for him, and he kept asking, where are these two boys? They were supposed to be coming. We didn't let Swami know that we were coming, yet Swami knows when we are coming. You know, this is divine, divya sankalpas, they say.
Yes.
Divine ways of working. He knows everything that is happening. So what Kasturiji says is, those days it was little bungalows dotted around in Puttaparthi. There were no big flat, these flats and all this other thing. So Kasturiji had a flat, and next to it there was a little room. He said, go into that room, change yourself very quickly, and I'll take you to Swami. So we were very eager, very quickly we changed, straight into new clothing, and we were rushed into the interview room. So we went into the interview room. The interview room boys looked at us and said, Swami is asking you to go upstairs. Upstairs means Swami's bedroom. We didn't know that. At least I did not know. Anup had been to Prashantidev before, and he had an interview, so he knew what was happening. But the moment he was told, we were told to go upstairs, we had never been upstairs. Those people who have been to the old, to Swami's Mandir and Swami's room upstairs would remember the spiral staircase that goes upstairs. And in India, many of the spiral staircases are such that the footings are not, they are very uneven. They are not same heights. And this is what I found. I was so eager to see Swami, so I was running. Bang, straight in front of him. So Anup was behind me and Kasturiji was behind him. So four of us in this line, three of us in this line. And the staircase is very narrow. I was rushing straight in front. right in front. You, rowdy, Dondapatu, who allowed you in? Get out!
Oh my God.
Right in top landing, you see Swami there. And he looks very angry. And he looks at me and everybody. I thought, is he saying to me? Or I looked at Anup, it must be Anup, you know. You, rowdy, get out! Who allowed you inside? I thought, oh my God. Did I make a mistake? Did the room boy make a mistake? Did Kasturi make a mistake? They can't be wrong, you know. So, I thought, the moment he said, get out. So I was trying to move out. But as I said, the staircase is so narrow. Everybody has to come out before the person at the top comes out. So I was trying to look way out, and I cannot, unless Anup moves, unless Kasturiji moves. And Kasturiji was smiling himself, you know. He thought himself, ah, here he goes. This boy is straight in the fire. And then Swami said, you, rowdy boy, no admission in my college either. This is admission for Anup. Huh? How can it be possible? I thought to myself, Anup and I came together. Swami took my name and Anup's name. My name should have been in front. Still this, you know, tussle is going in my mind. So I should have had the admission, not Anup, you know. If at all, second person should have lost out. Why is Anup getting the admission and not me? I thought to myself, something is not right. Then I said, Swami, why not me, please? You? Rowdy, going to Baroda, discussing with Atul, doubts in your mind. Swami, no medic school. Ah, penny drops. My God, dear brothers and sisters, devotees, distance between Puttaparthi, Vrindavan, to Baroda is 1,000 miles. How can Swami be in two different places? Swami said, I'm with you all the time. So whatever discussion, whatever talk, whatever thoughts you have in your mind, Swami knows it well in advance, well before that. How, when we were coming to Puttaparthi, that also Swami knew when we were coming. We didn't send a message to Swami. How did he know, Vali? The conversation, that little conversation that I had with Atul, and bit of doubt in there, how did Swami know, Vali? I totally forgot about it. Yes, Swami knew, Vali. You got doubts. So, no admission for you. Swami, please, I'm very sorry, Swami. It will not happen again. Please, Swami, forgive me. Like your mother and father, you know. Mother always forgives you, you know. He never takes it to heart. As if the Almighty God of the universe cannot do himself. He says, I'll see what I can do. I'll have to talk to so many different people in the university, in the college and everybody. And I'll see what I can do. As if this universe, master of the universe cannot do, you know, just one word and everything will change. But, you know, how he pretends he cannot do. And, dear brothers and sisters, obviously, Swami's playing games with me.
Wow.
And obviously, admission is given to me and I proceed. And then, in between, I've had so many experiences with Swami. And one day, Swami says, you want to go to medical school now, isn't he? I said, I wanted to. No. You go to medical school. So, he talks to, that time there was the union minister called T.A. Pai, if I'm not wrong. And he, the Manipal Medical School was under his directorship or something like that. And Swami says, I've already spoken to T.A. Pai. Go to Manipal, take the bus, and go there. So that evening I took a bus to Manipal. I reached Manipal, reached the medical school, but I did not go inside. I thought, all the route, I was thinking deeply. If I go out of the university, Swami's college, I'm going to lose so much. What is the point in me coming to India? My main purpose of coming to India was to come near Swami. And what am I trying to do? I'm going to Manipal Medical School, away from Swami? No.
As if you have studied in London.
I could have done that. I thought, no. I better go. So I didn't even enter the campus of Manipal Medical School.
Wow.
Took the next bus back to Bangalore, to Swami. And so I said, so what happened? He said, Swami, I don't want to leave. Just finish. Don't want to leave. Whatever you lay in front of me, I'll take it. And that is how, that education part, that is what I expected of you, Swami said. That is what I expected of you. As though he had in his mind how he wanted to groom me. You must have full faith in him. He kept saying, many times I used to do path seva all on my own to Swami, upstairs here in Vrindavan, sorry, in Pichantaniyam, and Vrindavan as well. And many times Swami used to talk about these various things. And in that, he had one of the incidents I'd like to narrate to you is this thing. One day, I was doing path seva. It was Swami on his couch. That was his usual bed. This couch is beautiful. It's an oval-shaped one with the serpent, the seven-headed serpent on top. As though this is the Vishnu avatar. And Swami is Vishnu avatar itself. And that is how Swami was there. He was laid on that. Not completely, but sort of slightly on a supine state. And I was doing path seva. And Swami says, Swami had just had his meal. And Swami always asked me, Amy Samachar, just to start conversation. So my view was just keep quiet. Swami, whatever he wants to discuss, let him discuss. And then he was eating pan those days, the betel nut. He opened this betel nut box, the betel nut leaf that is supposed to be sort of heart shaped, but devotees cut it and put it into a rectangle shape, so it's easy to roll. And the back veins, thick veins, are taken out. So it's nicely laid out. There's a small portion of chunam in there, i.e. the calcium chalk in there. And betel nut as well, which is in there. And a little silver spoon with which Bhagwan can pick up the betel nut and apply on top of the betel leaf and put it in his mouth. It is supposed to be a good refresher after a meal. And Swami used to have that. And then Swami showed it to me. What is this? This was a betel leaf. So I said, Swami, a leaf. Okay. Then he slowly started cutting an oval shape in there.
Mm-hmm.
Now this oval shape, cut it and showed it to me. I said, Swami, it's an oval shaped leaf now. I said, okay. And then he blew on top of this leaf. And this leaf turned into a locket.
Mm-hmm.
A solid based locket with the top enameled. And there was a picture of Rama on top of it.
Mm-hmm.
And Swami says, so what is this? I said, Swami, that is Rama. And then he showed me, again, he looked at it and blew on top of it. And this picture changed to Krishna. And then he showed it to me and I found it, this is Krishna. And then went to other deities as well. And then Jesus Christ appeared at some stage.
So you're seeing all the avatars there?
Avatars, different avatars, forms of avatars coming one after the other on top of this enameled oval-shaped locket that was there.
So it is Rama, Krishna.
Then different deities came up, you know, even our Durga came in and everything. And then so many, you know, came in. Jesus Christ came in as one time. Buddha came in. And then all of a sudden, Kasturiji knocked on the door. And Kasturiji, as people may not know, but in Pichandaniyam, nothing moved unless explicit permission was given by Bhagwan those days. So some things needed to be done in Pichandanilayam. So Kasturiji had asked, come to ask this permission for this, whatever he needed to do. So he discussed it with Swami very quickly, and Swami says, okay, do this, do that, and etc. And then I was still massaging Swami's feet and all, and that leaf was still, or the pendant was in Swami's hand. And me, like any human being, would be so eager now, that is going to be mine now. Wonderful. I'm going to get it, and I'm going to show it to every devotee. Look, Sai Baba gave it to me. I must be one of the greatest devotees, isn't he? So, you know, you become suddenly proud of yourself. This is going to be my, for me. This creation is for me. And then Kasturiji left. And then Swami showed it to me. Another deity appeared and said, it blew on top of it again. This time, you won't believe this, brothers and sisters, the facet that came up was the Virat Swarupa that came up. Now Virat Swarupa, and with this Virat Swarupa, in the place where the heart is supposed to be, that's where Swami was. Just by the side was Shirdi Sai as well.
Oh wow.
And so all the facets of the gods are this Virat Swarupa. Virat Swarupa. And I'd heard of this because Madhuvan had been telling me about this, that very few people in the universe have had that darshan. And this is why many rishis go into Himalayas and pray for centuries before they get the darshan of Virat Swarupa. And so Swami showed it to me. And Swami said, what is this? So because of that knowledge that I, little knowledge that I had, I said, Swami, that is Virat Swarupa. Very good. Then he said, so, look, that is, he opened his mouth very wide and put it straight in his mouth and it straight in his, that is me. Just tapped on his body and said, that is me. That is Swami. The others were then. Now, Sai. God, Sai, now. The avatar declaring himself to me. That avatar that is there now, Satya Sai, that is the avatar now. The others, that Swarupas that he showed it to me, they were then. Later on when I spoke to Madhuban about this incident, she said, you are one of the very, very lucky persons that Swami has shown you this thing. It may be some sort of divinity that has been pervading you for centuries, that Swami has been bringing with you, bringing you all the time. And he has shown you this Virat Swarupa today. I said, that is a very unique thing. And rishis pray for this for centuries in Himalayas, and you have been given this darshan, should be really proud of yourself.
Wow. And you were fortunate to witness it, and we are fortunate to actually recreate it in our minds as you narrate it. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you.
It's really been wonderful talking to you, and I know that this is just not even the surface of the ocean of experiences that Bhagwan has blessed you with. And I pray to Swami that we'll continue this satsang and try to relive some of those beautiful moments and derive that eternal inspiration from him, so that we can at every moment of our lives live only for him. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Sai Ram.
Sai Ram.
Tune in to Sai. Spend the day with Sai. From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m.
on Radio Sai's Thursday Live. Radio Sai.